to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Suck it.
Bitches.
Welcome, welcome, come on into the Game Lounge. This is episode number 26, and I am the Fisherman.
And I am the Farva. Welcome back,
baby.
Fish. Welcome back.
I'm back. Sorry, guys. I had to take a little hiatus last week. I had a crazy, crazy week at work. You know, on Wednesday, Farva, when we were supposed to sort of re-record, and, you know, we had pushed it off to Wednesday.
Yep.
I worked from 8 in the morning until 4 in the morning.
That's backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
How'd you do that? You worked negative 4 hours?
the other, I kept going. I kept on going into Thursday.
Oh, 20 hours.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a long work day.
It was gnarly. But it was all because I got Thursday and Friday off, and that kind of leads us into what we're drinking, because I am drinking a leftover beer from a house guest that I had on Thursday and Friday. My cousin came in town. I'm sure he would really be into you, Farva.
Another penis. Great.
So, yeah, another penis for Farva. what he left behind is a little beer that we picked up over the market, St. Peter's Golden Ale. Okay. I had never had it. It is brewed in the motherland, the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And it is a pretty good golden ale. He just left it behind. He told me it was one of the greatest beers, and then he never drank it when he was here. So he's from Chicago, so he ain't coming back for this one.
Good solid Bears fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he was happy to hear that you were a Bears fan too.
Oh yeah, tied for first in the division, baby.
Yeah, man. They're looking pretty good right now, too. But, yeah, that's what I'm drinking is a St. Peter's Golden Ale because it's a leftover from my cousin's awesome, awesome visit last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The fisherwoman played a large part in keeping that a surprise for me. Awesome. We had a fucking badass time.
That's awesome.
To the detriment of the ship.
No, incest is always more fun when it's a surprise.
Right. Well, you know, that's kind of the way it works in the Fisher family. I'm drinking this Golden Ale, and it is pretty delicious. So what have you got over there, Farva?
Jack and Diet. Oh, plain, simple, strong, though. I've got a glass here. Probably holds, I'd say, maybe a liter. Maybe not a liter. Pint. What do you call it? Like, this is like a regular, you know, like one of those little hand bottles that you
a
get.
A flagon?
You know? A flagon? What? Yeah. I've got a flugen of beer. Anyway, I've got this thing like probably a third to a half filled with Jack, and then I just colored it with a little Diet.
Make yourself feel better.
Yeah, so in a little bit here, as we progress to the show, I will be belligerent, and hopefully my wife and kid will be asleep so I can do some gaming. Anyway, we'll talk about my gaming later, but
right.
I've run into some problems and discovered I'm not as good as I used to be, and I think part of it's because I haven't been as intoxicated as I usually am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, like, affecting my gameplay.
Yeah, that stands to reason.
So, Jack and Diet, that's what I'm rocking.
Right on. I have something a little special to talk about in the drinking section here. We went wine tasting with my cousin, and we went to a whiskey creator. I don't even know what you would call those people. Winemakers are vintners and beer makers are brewmasters. I don't even know what you would call a whiskey maker.
Awesome.
Oh, a distillery. Yeah, that's right. A distillery.
Awesome. Just awesome.
It was awesome. And you know what was crazy, Farva, is I fashioned myself a vodka and sort of a whiskey guy. This place is called Woodinville Whiskey Company. They made a pretty good whiskey. It's tough to sip it. It would probably be more of a mixing whiskey. Mm-hmm. Their vodka was like nothing I had ever tasted. It was awesome. The smell of it was different than any kind of vodka. This was a vodka for sipping. Absolutely, you wouldn't mix this with anything. It tastes like it tasted like butterscotch going down.
Okay.
It was not a butterscotch flavored vodka. It was just a straight vodka, but it had hints of butterscotch and honey because of the way that they distilled it. And the distillery was right there on site. We got to go in and see the distillery and stuff. It was really, really cool. This Woodinville Whiskey Company. It's really cool to have a local distillery.
Nice. So when do I expect my bottle?
Is that already in the mail? Here next?
What? Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. When you come out here, it's not cheap. I'll say that much for that alcohol. It is not cheap because it is handcrafted but it's very, very good.
Okay. Who is the peanut gallery in the back?
That would be the Fisherwoman.
Oh, shut your hole, woman.
Wow.
I can hear her in the back. She's like,
shut your hole.
Meh, meh, meh. Meh, meh, meh.
Well, no.
Okay.
So.
She was very excited to talk about the vodka in the side conversation with me.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
Any woman who's excited about vodka, I'm okay with.
I'll bet you are, motherfucker. You dirty bastard. I'll bet you are.
I'm a dirty bastard.
That's going to do it for the... well, we're going to go on into the digital disc next. That's going to do it for what we're drinking. So here comes digital disc. All right, this is Digital Desk, and the first story we want to talk about is this little game from EA Sports called Fight Night Champion. Farver, are you aware of, or have you been a fan of, or you ever played any of the Fight Night games?
The last Fight Night I played was on, I think, the original Xbox. It was Fight Night 3.
And, okay.
Actually, I used to get together with friends and lose at it badly, because yeah. That was when they actually was pretty inventive, but what they did was they made it so that the left thumbstick and the right thumbstick were your two different punches, where you were your two arms,
yeah.
And so you could like throw different punches using different combinations, kind of like Skate does with the tricks. And
yeah,
it got to the point where like my buddies would take like, you know, welterweights, and I would take like Riddick Bowe or just some monster in the heavyweight division, and it would take them like 12 rounds, but they would just beat the piss out of me. Like it was, I was horrible at that game, but I did enjoy it.
Was it where you were using the stick and they were using the buttons, or
were
you guys
no.
both using the sticks?
No, we were both sticked out, and they just beat the shit out of me.
Oh, wow. I really, really like the Fight Night series. I missed the last one because it didn't seem to offer too much. This new one... Okay, so the news story is that this is the first EA Sports title that's going to be M-rated. Because of all the blood and facial deformation, it looks like they are going a really gritty and realistic look for Fight Night. If you've ever played the newer generation Fight Night games, you'll see that it's sort of as a graphical test. Mm-hmm. Those games and racing games seem to be a good showpiece for what your console can do.
Yeah.
Because essentially you're in a boxing ring. It's not like you've got to generate this entire epic storyline with this huge world. Sports games, you can make a showpiece because you're doing one basic thing and you're in one place, one confine with maybe some different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You're a single purpose game, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So those and racing games are kind of the same thing. They have different confines and different backgrounds, but you don't have a whole lot of procedurally generated things in there. So they're show pieces. This one looks to be the best of the bunch, and it looks like they did what I've been waiting for Fight Night to do for years, which is include a story element that actually makes sense. If you watch the trailer, it looks like Raging Bull.
Oh.
It looks like they sort of follow the narrative arc of a Raging Bull. And to have all this stuff come with the M rating, and like, you know that it's going to be brutal, you know that it's going to be dramatic, you know it's going to be, you know it's going to be really gritty and really real. It comes out in March, and it's all of a sudden shot on my radar and way up near the top of my list of things that I'm looking forward to early next year. I can't wait. I think what they do with the stick fighting is very cool. The way it works is that your left stick still controls your character, your movement, and the right stick controls your punching. You throw it up into the left, you throw a left jab, you throw it up into the right, you throw a right jab, and then there's like Hadouken Street Fighter moves to throw hooks and crosses and uppercuts and shit.
That's hilarious. I used to do that whenever I try and throw like a big like right cross, I'd be like, Hadouken! Yeah. I'd say it every time.
Yeah, and then you hold the left trigger if you want to turn those into body blows. Yeah, this is Farva Street Fighter Impression Hour. But I'm really looking forward to this. Farva, is this kind of boxing game on your radar at all? Are you interested in what Fight Night does? I think for the uninitiated fan, the inclusion of that story at least has to make it a little bit interesting, right?
That, and to be fair, it is a great boxing game as far as it's fairly easy to pick up. You start moving your thumbs in different directions, and once you kind of get the punches down, which is really simple to learn, it's an easy game to play. That being said, I'm not going to be picking it up or looking for it for the simple reason that this type of game, long-term play-wise, there will be a hardcore fan base to it that will get online. There will be boxing matches. People will really be going to town. The only time I really played this game, the old iterations of this game, was when I was sitting next to my buddy and we'd be talking smack and he'd just be like, gotcha, tagged you. I'd be like, Hadouken, and he'd be like, gotcha. You know, it's like we would just talk shit to each other the whole time we were playing. That was what made it fun. Other than that, it's a good game. It was a good, clean game, and I enjoyed it, but it's not something that I would play on my own over and over again. I personally think that the MMA games that are out are much more explosive and much more fun when it comes to like taking down opponents, and there's a lot more to them. And so it's a great boxing franchise. Boxing franchise. And it's great, like, if you're a dad and you want to, you know, beat up your kid, or you know, you've got roommates or that kind of thing, it's great. Like, I know my brother and his friend, I mean, my brother is in a house with three guys, and him and his friend to decide who's going to be the quote-unquote designated driver, which means who is less drunk at the end of the night, they will box, or they'll play hockey, or they'll play basketball, or something like that. They'll play a game to kind of decide who's going to do what. So for something like, for him, he'd pick it up and be like, this is awesome, and they'd beat the shit out of each other, then go get drunk together, and then, you know, oh, you're supposed to drive, you get the DWI, that kind of thing. So
right.
I think it's a great franchise. The M rating thing, I've really got to see the mechanics and how badly they break up a face, because you can only swell up a face so much. I mean, you can watch, you know, horrible boxing matches on ESPN Classic where guys just get deformed.
Yeah.
You know? So for them to create a game that's going to be so severe that it requires an M rating, that's a little, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to think of that. But I will probably rent it, and if it's just amazing and you pick it up and a couple other guys on my friends list pick it up and we all just like take to beating each other to death, you know, then it's something I'll pick up. But I really can't see that at this given time.
I kind of wonder if the M rating has less to do with their in-ring stuff and more to do with their story mode stuff, so that they can make it a more gritty and more real kind of boxing, like a mob boss, you know, fixing fights kind of story, rubbing people out, you know, using foul language and all that stuff.
But the thing is you get that stuff with like Mafia 2, you know? Mafia 2 wasn't mature, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh. Any game that uses foul language and has that kind of stuff, uses foul enough language, I think it's a certain number of times gets an M rating.
Okay, well there you go. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, how bad can you honestly break up a face and have?
They
be
do
like,
it pretty bad already. And that's the kind of thing. If you see any of the more modern ones, they do it pretty bad already. I think the MMA games, I think that EA and THQ, which are the two companies that make the MMA games, really need to come to an understanding quickly that can't be an annual franchise. EA found that understanding pretty quickly in terms of boxing. I don't know if you remember, there was a series called Knockout Kings that came out year after year after year after year in the earlier console generations.
I do remember.
It flopped. I mean, it was horrible. It didn't work. And in the same way that THQ found it out this year with UFC 2010 that nobody bought, because everybody already had UFC 2009, that they have to realize that these types of games aren't the ones you can release yearly, because not enough change. I mean, NFL rosters change every year. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why that format works.
And even that, I honestly think they should just do a DLC to update the rosters. I think they should push that back to every 2 years as well. I think if your game isn't story-driven, i.e. Mass Effect, and even Mass Effect takes a year and a half to 2 years because of the story and all the work they're putting into it, or Fallout, or something like that. If it's a story-driven game, then there's a reason to pick it up and play it because you're continuing or you're picking, you know, it's a story. But for these games that are, it's a sport, you know, NASCAR or hockey or these things, update the rosters, but you don't have to overhaul the mechanics every year. You know, every 2 years, that's where you add in, hey, there's a new game mode or there's a new mechanic in it or there's this, we've improved that. But I think you should just do it. They should release the game and then just update the roster and spend the 2 years really, you know, really building on that game, building on that franchise, really reinventing it instead of coming out with this small tweak or that small tweak, being like, here, we've got all these options for you. And in the meantime, you spend $15 instead of $60 to get your updated rosters.
You know what I think is money talks.
Yeah.
They'll never change it as long as they're selling.
No. But what the thing is, what I don't want to see and what will eventually happen is people will get bored buying the new iteration every year. And so they'll buy it every two, every 3 years. That will start to happen. Now, you'll have your hardcore fans who will buy everything that comes out. But, you know, for like Madden and some of these games, I mean, I know a lot of Madden players who didn't get this latest one. Because they're just they're just like, you know what, I'll get it next year or the year after, because not enough changed. Even though I guess like the way they pick plays and this and that really did change and really did affect this last year. But instead, if they just updated the roster every year and every 2 years released a game that had, you know, the new hit sticks or new whatever, they really clean that up, that's where you make your money. I think you'll sell more there. And what you'll end up doing is you'll sell more hard copies because it's only released every couple of years, and then you'll make plenty of money when you do the 15-man roster, and it won't take as many people working on one game. You know, you can cut your staff back from 100 people working on the game to 75 working on the game because they have a 2-year window to do it.
Sure. Yeah, so. That makes. I'm sure there's some graph in some boardroom that counteracts your theory over there, but who knows? You know, it's all speculative. I think also the reason that a lot of people like me only buy sports games in 2-year cycles is because I know it's going to be out next year. You know, if there was any kind of uncertainty that there wouldn't be a Madden in 2012, I might be more compelled to pick up Madden 2011.
See, I just know there's some rich executive somewhere that may hear this and be like, "They're buying the games, bitch." I'm like, "All right, sorry, whatever."
Yeah, I know that's all it talks is that they sell millions and millions and millions of copies of Madden. And they're happy doing that seemingly forever. But I will say that the one sports series that seems to have gotten this figured out is Fight Night. It doesn't come out every year. It comes out every 2, maybe every 3 years. And when it comes out with a major overhaul.
Yeah.
So fans of that series.
And it's always a positive overhaul, too.
Yeah. So fans of that series can rely on buying that game every time it comes out. Now, it's not a Madden. It doesn't have that name cachet attached to it, and it couldn't really be used as a model for that either because nothing's Madden. You know, you can't just try this with something and say it would work with Madden too because nothing's Madden. Madden sells every year regardless.
Yeah, because it's Madden. You know what? Right. This is one of these games, honestly, I probably won't pick it up. I'll probably rent it, play it for a while, and knowing that they're going to make some big changes to it, it's one of these things I'll wait till I can get it for $35.
Yeah, that's a good plan. I'll probably get it right when it comes out. But a good plan if you're mildly interested in it is waiting until it comes out for $35 or renting it and just kind of going through the story mode, which hopefully will be good. The next story I want to talk about is, well, actually, you know what? There wasn't a whole lot in the way of stories these past couple of weeks. The next 4 stories, most of these stories are all rumors.
Okay.
The first rumor I want to talk about
you know what? You want to steal the rumors thing from Frawls?
No, we don't want to. No.
Oh, come on. Why not? Just to be a dick.
Don't want to be doing that.
Because, you know, just about everybody listens to this show, listens to the Sarcastic Gamer thing.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, come on. Let me do a bad impression of Frawls, doing a bad impression of Schwarzenegger, doing a bad impression of announcing the rumors.
I'm not putting any music behind it.
You don't have Maybe to.
You can do the music, like, too, if you want.
This is the Frawls, and we're going to do the rumors. That's all I got.
Yeah, that'll make it in.
All right. God, I love alcohol.
The first rumor I want to talk about is that Gears of War, the next one, there's a rumor out there that it's getting Kinect controls. Now, the one thing that Kinect doesn't have going for it that Move does have going for it is that it has Move has some hardcore gaming support. They're going back and legacy patching MAG. They're going to be putting in Killzone 3. All these games that gamers want to play will also be compatible with the Move. This is the first I've heard of a gamer's game being used with motion controls. Now, Farva, if you were to speculate,
okay, which is what do you pretty think? Much what I do.
Right. What do you think would be the integration of Kinect in Gears of War?
I think they'll try. I think it'll fail. I think it'll be some sort of timed gamer mode. Like, I think it'll be an add-on to the game, not the game itself. And for this reason, I have not played the Kinect yet. So this is pure speculation. But from my conversation with Dave last week, he was talking about that soccer game and how there's no weird way to dribble the ball because you can't, like, run around your living room. Your living room's not a field, football field long. So you're stuck in one place heading the ball and this and that. Now, he said it was incredibly – he was impressed with how responsive it is to his body, like when he leaned back to throw a powerful punch and how it read that. And so that sounds cool. I think what they're going to do with the Gears of War is you're not going to be able to run around. There's no motion for that. Like, the Move at least has the – shoot. It's not the nunchuck. What did he call it? It's something it had
the nav.
The nav, thank you. It's got the nav, so you have the little, you know, the little thumbstick to you can kind of move your character around, and then use the wand to, you know, shoot the shit out of whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have the nav, or you don't have a nunchuck. You don't have a thumbstick to get your guy to go from point A to point B. So because of that, I think it's going to be a full body thing where it's just kind of you're on a rail shooter. Maybe you're in a vehicle of some sort and you duck down for cover and you pop up and you aim over here and maybe you pull your hand or you do something to fire, you know, and it'll read your body like that. I think it won't be the true Gears experience where, you know, you're running over here and then you make the move for the chainsaw move and you gut somebody or you execute them. None of that. I don't think they can do that. I think this is going to be a tack on for the Kinect for Gears.
It's tough to imagine what would be the integration in your Gears gameplay that you can expect. That's not something you can translate to motion control very well. I think if it happens, it'll happen one of two ways. It'll be a hybrid. Well, it may be the first hybrid game where you're using the controller and Kinect at the same time.
Okay.
In that way, you could be using head motions or something to signify different things. See, you want to do, maybe put yourself on a roadie run.
How would that work, though? Because you need two hands for the controller, so you wouldn't be able to – so it can't read your body. Like, your arm, right arm wouldn't be a gun or left arm or whatever, you know.
I wouldn't imagine it would track your head or hand. Or I would imagine it would track your head in some way.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Look over here.
Or like you said, have a level that is an on-rail shooter that has Kinect support. That has you on a train operating a Gatling gun and you're sort of pointing your arm around.
And
using that.
I don't think, cuz everyone doesn't have Kinect and they're not going to I think it'll be an add-on to the game, much like I think it's going to be like Horde Mode. When they came with Horde Mode was revolutionary. There was no other game that had really done that, or those that hadn't perfected it to the mode that they had. Now you've got a Horde Mode in every fucking game. They call it something different, but it's Horde Mode. Everyone knows that. So they've made their mark there. I think they're going to add a Kinect-type thing, and they'll maybe call it, you know, I don't know, Shooter's Alley or whatever they call it. And so when other shooters come out and they're going to have that other mode tacked on for those people who own the Kinect, it will be always known as, okay, so we've got the latest Halo and it's got its Shooter's Alley, except in this one, you know, it'll be like that, whatever.
Yeah. But an on-rail shooter, like on a train operating a Gatling gun, is not something you could not do with a controller, too. I think if they do that, it'll be optional. You will be able to control it with Kinect, or if you don't have Kinect, you can just use your sticks, too. Kind of thing. And then you could have a level in there for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's really I don't know.
I think your ideas are dumb. Who can tell? I think your ideas are dumb.
That's great. I'm glad you're on this podcast with me.
Welcome back, man. I missed you.
So that's Gears of War rumor. The next rumor I want to talk about is that EA is working on an NFL Blitz title. Now, this rumor kind of confused me.
Okay.
Blitz is a series that exists. It is something that already is out there that has been coming out for a while now. It's not been NFL Blitz because they don't have the people that were making it, I think, were Midway and Acclaim, and they don't have the NFL license. But they had bought the license for Blitz from EA. Now EA's got it back, and it sounds like they're working on the next one with all the buzz surrounding NBA Jam, which we'll talk about later. The buzz is that they're working on an NFL Blitz title. Farva, did you put any time in NFL Blitz in the arcades or in the console iterations when they came out on the earlier generation consoles?
In, I will probably say, 99, 98, 97, in that window somewhere, I played NFL Blitz at the arcade. I think I put all of $1.50 into it. It beat the shit out of me and took my money so fast it wasn't even funny. And so I was like, fuck this game, and I went back to Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or whatever else I could actually get some like playtime in with. So, and that was the last time I played Blitz. It's just not been my game. Now, like, I'm not good at sports games. It's just one. I'm just not. And every time I hear a sports game is great and I want to go pick it up, it's usually so good that even after it's been out for 6 months, it's still $50, you know, and I can't justify that because I don't know if I'm going to play it that much or, you know, no one's playing it anymore. So those are what I always run into. So I'm not a sports guy. So Blitz is something I just haven't picked up and I don't. Yeah. I mean, I want to see, like, I know, did they ever release a new Blood Bowl?
They've just been adding expansions onto it.
But that's it. Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to that when it first came out. I was like, all right, I should go pick that up. And I still haven't picked that up. And I could probably get it for $10 on the off the arcade. I just haven't. But that was like the last like true football game that I honestly sank a lot of time into.
Yeah. Blitz, I had a lot of fun with Blitz on the consoles. In the arcade, it was certainly a quarter eater, for sure. It was like 50 cents for each quarter of football that you wanted to play, $2 if you want to play a whole game.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, really? Did you... Oh, 50 cents. Okay, I just did the math wrong in my head. I'm like, really? You're retarded. Then I realized my math was wrong. Did you ever play, like, the original Mario at an arcade unit?
Yeah.
How fucking fast did that clock move?
Oh, my God.
I remember, I was on a military base in England. Okay, that's where I grew up. My dad was in the military.
Sure.
And they had one at the we had a roller skating rink there. And they had one of those in the corner. So I remember, like, being in skates, trying to play that fucking game, and watching that clock move so fucking fast, and losing my mind. I'm like, swim faster, fucker! And I'm, like, tapping the thing as fast as I could go and could not get through the levels. So pissed. That was a video game ripoff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's the old style, man. That was right at the end of the old style of game, and God, man, that brings back memories. But the Blitz title was one that I always kind of connect with as a kid. I don't know if I would connect with it as much as I did with NBA Jam. Now, I liked it because you could murder the person after you had made the play. You could continue tackling them over and over and over again, and there was no penalty for that.
Now, did they get injured?
No, there was no injuries,
but
you could always like pick them up and throw them back down, and it was just this like pro wrestler style tackles and stuff, and it was just such an over the top game.
No, all right,
I had a great time with it.
All right, the older Maddens, like I remember me and my brothers used to play, you know, like or not even the Maddens, but let's throw it all the way back to Super Tecmo Bowl. Me and my brothers would play that game religiously. There were four boys, and we would just go nuts playing. We'd play season after season. And whenever it came to us like playing head-to-head, there was always that one character you controlled. And whenever someone went into the end zone, you could still tackle them because the thing that lasted, the animation lasted for like 5 seconds. So you could tackle them. And if you hit them hard enough, every so often, you'd cause an injury. And I remember once I was like the Raiders, and my brother came in, and he tackled me, and I had fucking, Bo Jackson. My brother came in, tackled me in the end zone long after I scored the touchdown. I'm in the back of the end zone celebrating. Fucking put him out for the season. We got into a fist fight, like a legitimate fist fight. Like I was pissed. Like it was bad. And because this was like week 3, I was furious. Yeah. And so, if we could add an injury when you do that in blitz mode, where you hit a guy hard enough that fucking Peyton Manning's out for the season.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking amped would you be, like, playing someone? Like, let's say, like, we got an online league going or something like that, and then on a cheap shot, I fucking put your quarterback out for the season.
Yeah.
That would be, or, like, out for, like, 6 weeks. Like, just that kind of thing, that would make it fun. Like, there needs to, like...
That's swinger shit right there, man.
Add a consequence to that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, keep an eye out for that one if you're an NFL Blitz fan. It's still a rumor that it's even in development, but given the success and the buzz around NBA Jam...
And that we're in the fucking know.
Yeah, I'd say that this one's probably true. The next one is not a rumor. It is news that OnLive, our favorite streaming gaming portal, which is like the only gaming streaming portal... Yeah, do you remember when this thing started getting announced? They announced a micro console that hooks up to TVs, and they said, "Oh, this is going to come out sometime." It's this tiny little box that you hook up to your TV, and it works the same as OnLive. You don't need a computer for it, though. Do you remember those rumors coming around?
No.
Okay. Well, that was always the idea behind OnLive, was that there would be one that you could play on your computer, your Mac. Or whatever, your netbook, any kind of thing that can run a fast internet connection, and there was going to be a tiny little console that is about the same size as a big smartphone.
Okay.
That connects to the same service and connects to the TV.
Now, what do you have a controller?
Yeah.
Okay.
You should click on. I didn't even give you a link to click on it on this.
No, the link's there. I just refuse to click on it because...
No, it's not, but it, that's all right. Thanks for covering.
Oh, okay. I'm like, because then I get, like, educated, and then I know shit. I'm like, God, I learned something. Fuck!
I'll tell you, I would say the controller's revolutionary, but it's not, but that's okay, because it looks almost exactly like a 360 controller, so...
Ooh, points for
it'll
me.
It'll work. So, the console itself is the size of a big smartphone, and it has... A mini USB port, it has an HDMI port to connect to your TV, and it has a Ethernet port, and that's it. That's all it has on it. And it's, ostensibly, you could plug this thing in and hide it away inside your entertainment center and use it to sync your controller up and never see it again. So that's pretty nice. And what else is nice about this is the price. It is coming out on December 3rd, and it's going to be $100, and it's going to come with one free game for up to $50.
Okay. All right. So, real quick, for those of us who fall asleep every time you mention OnLive, because I'm like, I have Steam now, and I use Steam when I'm gaming when I'm on my lunch breaks at work, and I have all my other three consoles whenever I'm not at work.
Yeah.
Why should I get Live? Like, did they get rid of the monthly, you got to pay to subscribe to it deal?
They did.
All right. Refresh me on all that shit because I don't remember.
Okay. So when it came out with a subscription service tagged onto it, which I never had to pay because I was in the beta, so they gave me a year for free anyways. But over the course of that year, it still hasn't evaporated yet.
Hang on. I'm drunk and I've got to do... Look at me, I'm fish. I got in the beta. I don't have to pay. Nah, 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 nah.
Well, look at me, I'm everybody. I don't got to pay. Because over the course of that year, they dropped the subscription fee. It's not there anymore. It's free to subscribe to OnLive, to get all their little OnLive benefits. Now what's rumored to be happening over at OnLive is a subscription service to where you get unlimited play for some of their older legacy titles and some of their versions of the XBLA games kind of things. Mm-hmm. Some of the smaller games you can find on Steam, like World of Goo and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Unlimited play for that stuff every month for some like $5 a month or something like that.
Okay.
But then you still have to buy the bigger releases. But you can abandon that altogether and just go purchase only with this, or rental only. And that seems to be the big benefit of the micro console, is that for $100, you get the console that hooks up to your TV, and it streams games over the internet for you, streams the video back to you, so that there's no hardware usage on your end. You're just taking a video feed and displaying it on your TV. So the benefit that I see with this is not so much in the console itself, but as a demo machine. Imagine, Farva, that you know, we're doing care packages here on the show, mm-hmm. and you don't need to go to the rental store to rent a game. You can just sit there on your ass, turn on your OnLive micro console, and rent the game for $3 for 12 hours of playtime.
Oh my God, I'm fat enough. This sounds so dangerous for me.
And then you wouldn't have to go anywhere, and you wouldn't have to pay, you know, $7 or $8, however much it costs to rent a game, and you don't have to, like, go bring it back, all that stuff. The concept of OnLive is that the game is delivered to you. You don't need to go anywhere to get it for purchasing purposes. But also for demo and for renting purposes, you can rent a game over the service, and they give you a set amount of time that you can play that game for the price of a rental. They still have their kinks to work out. Their library is not very big. They got to expand their library, and they got to look at their pricing structure for buying games.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's going to want to pay even Steam prices, because you... When you buy something on Steam, you get those files. You own those files.
Yeah.
You have them. You don't have anything with OnLive. You have a license to play the game off of their servers. And that's a little tenuous. That's a little tough to charge $50 for. But I think this is a step in the right direction. The reviews are out, and they say that the console's good, and the controller's good, too. The controller's very solid, is what they're saying. And for $100 with a $50 game included with it, You couldn't break in any cheaper than that. And especially, I know this isn't any of our audience, and so this is just sort of a news thing, not really an informative thing for our audience. For someone who's just sort of starting to get into this modern era of gaming, maybe got away from it for a while, or maybe someone who's just now starting to get into video gaming, doesn't have any of the big consoles, don't want to drop $300 on something, good way to do it.
Did you just say $300?
Yeah.
Really?
I say things, Farva.
You say things. That is true. You do say things.
You fall asleep over there. Well, three fucking hundo?
Really? Dude, $300.
Yeah.
Okay, Lando. Whatever. Go ahead.
That was the guy's name. It's not as like his name was Landred or something.
I'm just, okay, whatever. $300. Yeah, no one wants to drop $300. So, yeah, if you don't want to, if your grandma doesn't want to drop $300 and she wants to, she does want to get into the games that her grandkids are playing, that way she can, like, you know what's hip and down. Keep going.
Funny story is that I won $300 at a blackjack table this past weekend with my cousin.
Oh, God,
so
you said it again. Nice. You sound so white. Like, I know we're two, like, very white people, but come on. Let's try and, like, cross-pollinate here a little bit.
Whoa, what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I've been drinking a little bit. It's the first word that came into my head.
So, Farva, does this micro console interest you at all? It seems like at that price point, how could you not be at least a little bit intrigued by it?
I seriously wish I didn't have so much credit card debt right now, because it does sound fun, and it sounds like a new toy that I would probably not use that often, and I still mm-hmm. want it. Just like off of, and I'm gonna pimp another thing that's not on here, but I talked about it with, I think DJ actually picked it up, for like $99 off of ThinkGeek.com. They have what looks like a little brick. It looks like one of the old, what was Sega's, Sega Game Gear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like mm-hmm. that, but it has more controllers, and it has bumpers and stuff. And what it is it's a ROM simulator thing. So you get on the internet and you plug in however many games onto it, anything from the old NES up to and including, I think, the N64 and maybe even a couple of consoles after that, maybe even the Dreamcast, will all play on that, and then you can, you know, and it's a personal little pocket thing. Now, I think he bought it and said it was a little kind of awkward to use. It was a little bit brickish. But that was like $99, and I'm like, how amazing would that be to have like Mario 3 and fucking Legends of Zeldas and all the, you know, whatever, just tons of games on that thing, all from this like ROM simulator in my hand, and that's $99, and this is $99, and Kinect I still don't have, and that's $1.50, and I'm just like, see how much cooler that sounded? $1.50. I wasn't like $100, $100.50. You know, for $1.50.
Right.
You know.
So for $1.50.
That's where I got it.
$1.50.
I hate having a wife. If I didn't have a wife and kid, I would have all of this shit.
Yeah.
I would probably be a virgin, though. So.
I mean, that's this year. This year is the year of the half console release with with Move and Kinect and this micro console, and then even the Rock Band 3 reiterations of instruments and what's coming out next year is the guitar. This is the year of the half console release. These consoles have been around for a while, and they're looking to juice you for a little more money than just your standard game prices.
Hey. I'll make you a deal, okay? I'll send you this for Christmas, and you send me one for Christmas. They'll be like, no, honey, it's my friend. I'm just taking care of him.
Right. I don't really want it.
Oh, fuck you.
That's the thing. I don't really want it. Because
actually, here's the thing, I don't either. I want that little simulator, though. We'll get on thinktogeek.com. That'll be awesome. Yeah, or they have a watch that plays MP3s. Think about that. Porn on your wrist. How awesome is that?
You have MP3 porn?
Or MP4. Whatever.
I'll bet you do have MP3 porn.
I know. It's just audio.
No, it's a cut up. It's a cut up audio of my voice from the podcast. What it is. So yeah, we probably won't be doing the micro console. The good thing about it is if you're at all intrigued by this, you can go and get the OnLive service right now for free and try it on your computer. Whatever computer you have, you can try it on and see if it's your cup of tea. If it is, and that's something you would want to be playing on your TV, $100, man, that ain't shit for a new console.
No,
especially when you get a $50 game for free.
Yeah, that's a good gig.
So the next story we want to talk about is another rumor.
Whoa. I do not see... Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. That did not look like another note. I'm like, hey, you're throwing a story on me that I have not researched.
Yeah, I just threw four on you. You didn't research either.
I know, but I was just lost in our notes for a second. Okay, continue.
Okay, I can see your little scrolly thing fucking flipping out when you freaked out there. It was all over the goddamn page.
I'm like, what are we doing? No! Okay,
continue. So this rumor is that Elder Scrolls 5 is in the works.
You know, my wife is banging on the wall on the other side. Apparently she can hear me in the living room over Netflix playing Eureka. I'm swearing way too loudly.
Nice. Well, don't stop, because that's what we're doing here.
I know. Shut up, woman. Bring me some beer.
Elder Scrolls 5 is in development, apparently, and it's a direct sequel to Oblivion. Now, Bethesda has been working on, as we know, since Oblivion, the Fallout series.
Yes.
That's been their big open world release.
As we all know.
As we all know, because we talk about it all the time.
All the time.
Their next game they're coming out with, their next big release they're coming out, is apparently going to be Elder Scrolls V, and it's going to be apparently a direct sequel to Oblivion. Now, Farber, did you play Oblivion?
I have never played any of the Oblivion games.
Okay, none of the Elder Scrolls games.
I've never played Elder Scrolls. I've never played Myst.
Yeah, Morrowind.
You know what? Morrowind? Nope, none of those. You should totally gift those to me on Skype.
On Skype?
Why not?
On Skype?
Sure.
How the fuck would I give you a video game on Skype?
Oh, I'm a retard.
What the hell is wrong with you tonight, man?
I'm seriously, like, hammered now. Okay, no, not Skype. What's the other thing we use? Steam?
Steam.
Totally, you should gift that to me on Steam.
All right, well, we can talk about that later, because that actually kind of ties into the Fresh Catch.
Awesome.
But Elder Scrolls V is supposed to be coming out. It's supposed to be a direct sequel to Oblivion. I never finished Oblivion. I got to a point where I just couldn't... I had specced myself out to a point where I couldn't get past a part. Yeah, that happens in like RPGs and shit, where you have yourself... Get yourself to a story-wise point where you cannot progress because of the way that you've built your character.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most fucking infuriating thing in the world. Jamie is at that point right now in Fable. She got to a point where she needed a certain amount of money to save all of her people. She doesn't have it, and there's no way to get it, so she started over.
What?
Yeah.
No, burn the children.
I know. That's what I said, but no, that's not going to work. But this was one where I literally could not progress. There was a battle that I could not win, and that was it. But hopefully Oblivion comes out, or this Elder Scrolls 5 comes out, it blows us all away, because Fallout has been good, very, very good over the past few years, and hopefully they pick up a few lessons from Fallout and the way they've designed and what sort of pitfalls they ran into and what they can hope to accomplish with that. So anyways, if you guys are into Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, look for Elder Scrolls V at least to be announced in 2011, probably come out in 2012, maybe 2013. These projects that Bethesda takes on are, if nothing else, ambitious and will take a while to complete, but that is the rumor. So, that's going to do it for Digital Desk. We're going to move it on into the care package. Okay, this is care package. I'm back. Farber's back. We took a little hiatus, got our drinks refilled. I went and got a left-hand milk stout. I actually have a little story about this one, too. I got this in a five-pack because there was only five in the case when we bought it, and there was only one case left, so we only had the five-pack. Got it in five-pack for $5. So I will take that out of a left-hand milk stout every time. Those sixes out here usually go for 12 or 13 bucks a six. So that was pretty sweet. So I'm really happy to be drinking a left hand. I'm sure you just did you just refill your Diet Coke and Jack?
I'm gonna be so drunk, dude. Seriously, this one, like, I, you know when you drink, the more you drink, like, the less you actually taste like that alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how when you drink a strong drink, you drink it and you're like, whew, you got that blow off, like the, yeah, you blow off the alcohol. I'm at the point where I'm not blowing anything off because I don't even feel it anymore.
Okay.
So this is now a half and half. And we have to game after this.
Okay.
We've got to game after this. I just told her that. And she's like, you got to get up in the, because tomorrow we're doing Thanksgiving because I work on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing Thanksgiving tomorrow. She's like, you got to get up before noon. You can't be up all night, man, playing games. I'm like, I won't. I promise. I'll be up at 8. I swear to God.
You're
going to
be feeling great.
I totally won't, dude.
It doesn't matter when you get up. You're going to be feeling awful no matter when you get up.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. So let's go on to the care package proper. And we've been playing the same games. I wasn't on last week, so these aren't new games. They came out last Tuesday.
But I looked at the games coming out this week. And the only thing that was of significant note was Gran Turismo 5.
Uh-huh.
And fuck that game. I'm not playing it. I'm not going to spend my money to rent it. I don't give a shit about Gran Turismo 5. I'm sorry.
It's not even out yet for our recording time. It's out tomorrow, ostensibly.
No. Today's Tuesday. What?
24th.
Oh, good. Thank God. Seriously, people, I really wanted to get Gran Turismo 5. For our PlayStation 3 listeners, I looked around, I asked around. It doesn't release until tomorrow. I'm sorry. I tried to get my hands on it. Sorry.
And then he said, Fish, can we please record tomorrow so I can play Gran Turismo 5? And I said Fish, no, and then I beat him to a fucking pulp.
He couldn't make time. He couldn't make time, so I'm sorry.
I beat his ass to a pulp because he even suggested not recording on time. That
I'm
is a ridiculous proposition on this show.
I'm hiding the pain.
Yeah, something like all that. Anyways, what we've been playing is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Let's just talk about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood first. We've got two. But the first one is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Farva, I haven't played the storyline mode at all. I know you had started it because I was listening to the show last week. Have you gotten further into it and into the single player?
I'm ashamed to say I have played no more of it than when I talked to Dave last week.
Oh, okay.
I had it for 5 days. I had it. I returned it on Monday.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't even able to. I took my Xbox with me to work. I have it. Usually I plug it into my motel and get some gaming in. I didn't even power it up. I wasn't even able to, between my work schedule and just shit that was going down. It was just bad all the way around, and so I've gotten no further. So sadly, I have nothing to add. So please tell me about the multiplayer, especially if there is, and what it's like as far as a leveling up mechanic.
There is. You didn't get a chance. Did you just play single player when you had it?
I only played the single player. I went to play some multiplayer, and then I had to feed my kid. Go figure. She gets fucking hungry. You know, I'm a toddler. I can't feed myself. Fuck. So I went ahead and I, you know, fed her. And so that's pretty much all I did. Didn't get into any of the multiplayer. So tell me about the multiplayer.
So yeah, there is a level mechanic in the multiplayer component. Did you get to play that at all when you had it, or were you just playing single player?
Just a single player.
Okay, so but you know what multiplayer is all about because it fucking rocks.
Yeah, we played it at PAX. Out of all of us that played, who won? Do you remember who won that?
You won that.
Oh, that's right. It was me. I'm awesome. Continue.
Well, the crazy thing about it, and what made it so interesting to me, was that while you won it, I came in second place. going 8 kills and 7 deaths or something like that, were a ratio that wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. And someone else that we were playing with came in like 5th place with 11 kills.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the interesting part of the multiplayer for Assassin's Creed, is that it's not all about you just going on a murderous rampage. You have to do it right. And it feels like, Farva, that they enhanced it even further since we played it. Because when we played it, it was pretty easy to spot your target.
Yeah.
You could, you know, they all kind of look the same, but for some reason, it was just a lot more clear who your target was. In the retail release, what I've been playing, it's a lot harder to figure it out. The trick to multiplayer that I didn't pick up at PAX, but I'm picking up now, is to not even just to evade and run and get across the rooftops, to blend into the crowd. Mm-hmm. Sit on a bench. If you see that your targets, okay, so the way it works is there's a compass, and there's a target, there's a portion, like a wedge of the outside of the compass points you in the direction that your target's in. And that wedge gets larger and fills the entire circle around the compass as you get closer.
Yep.
So when you're nearby, when you're in the same general vicinity of your target, it's all the way full. The trick is that I've found, and one of my favorite things to do, is if I'm standing in one spot and I see that my target, my wedge is getting bigger because my target's actually coming near me, because they have no idea who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just sit on a bench and just wait. Because they will walk right by you or run right by you, and you can pick them up and kill them just like that. Because the way the multiplayer works in Assassin's Creed is that you pick a character type, and the world is populated with hundreds of those character types. You have a base model, and that model populates throughout the city as civilians. And so when you are looking for... what happens is you get a portrait of the person you're looking for. But there's hundreds of people that look just like that. So you have to go find them using your compass, but that doesn't tell you exactly who it is. It tells you that you're in their area, but there still could be 5 or 6 of those people around.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to watch for not computer-controlled type of movements. Computers will just sort of walk around, maybe move in and out of the crowd. Computers won't go running off in a direction, won't go climbing a building or anything like that. You can track, and it's so important to track that, because you'll lose points if you kill the wrong person. You'll lose points, you'll lose your target, and you won't be able to go after anybody else for the next, like, 15 seconds. It's almost like being killed in Modern Warfare, where you have to wait to respawn.
Yep.
But it's just your target is respawning. You can't do anything, really. You can run around, but whatever. And all at the same time, someone is hunting you, too. And they're doing the exact same thing. So if you're too slow, or you're giving yourself away by running up on your target, then your guy that's tracking you probably see that and come right after you, and then you're either chased or you're killed. So it's such a delicate balance of always trying to blend in so that you don't get killed while looking for the other player to not blend in. But essentially, you will always need to not blend in to win, because assassination is something that sets you completely apart from the crowd.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. Let's say I'm in a crowd of people, okay? And yeah. I see my I'm just hanging out with a crowd of people, and I see someone coming over and looking towards me.
Yeah.
Now, you can stab anybody you want.
You can.
You know? Now, is it possible? Have you tried stabbing the one who's hunting you?
Well, they have a counter mechanic in now. You hit the B or the circle button, and it's not an assassination, but it's a stun. And you get points for it if you stun your assassin, and they're on the ground, and you can get away.
Nice.
That's the mechanic. That's the counter mechanic to prevent yourself from getting assassinated.
That's pretty cool. That's new, because that was not there before.
It either wasn't there before, or we just didn't notice it. But whatever, it's there and it's useful to a certain extent. It's almost always more prudent for you to just take off running. You can dive around a corner and then just dive onto a bench and just be gone to this person. There's a lot, and then you get a lot of points for evading too. That's something that you did a lot at PAX. That's essentially why you won the match at PAX, I think, because you evaded a lot.
Don't make me sound like a pussy. Like all I did was run. But yeah, pretty much all I did was run.
Right.
And yeah, I scored a shit ton of points from that. And then right at the end, when Aladouche was winning, he was in first and I was in second. It was like 3 seconds to go. Luck would have it, he was my target. He fucking ran right at me. I fucking stabbed him with a second to go. He goes down. I get the points. Plus, he loses points for getting stabbed. I win.
Nice, yeah. And that's how you won with 8 kills, where the guy lost with 11 or 12 kills.
Yeah.
Because you get points in multiplayer, and your score and your rank is based on...
flair. And Farva had flair.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what it is. It's based on not just kill, 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 kill. It's based on how you're playing and actually how well you're performing. And that's in your measure of performance in this game is not the same as your measure of performance in really any other game. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's intriguing and interesting, and that's why the multiplayer alone is certainly worth checking out. I haven't gotten into the single player, but I've heard it's fantastic. I've heard it's a lot longer than people thought it would be, and I've heard that there's some pretty interesting mechanics. I haven't gotten into it because I haven't finished Assassin's Creed 2 yet. I'm very close. I'm not going to start it because I hear it picks up right at the end, and from what I heard, Assassin's Creed 2 is the end of Assassin's Creed 2 is pretty fucking mind blowing. I don't want to blow that for myself.
The thing is when you pick up on this one. I have not finished 2 either. I bought it. I got it used for the PS3. My buddy comes into town. He lives in Arkansas. He comes into town every so often. Kind of like just hangs out. Awesome guy. He loved that game, so he beat it. He got like everything in it.
Yeah.
He beat the game. He said it's amazing. I've been slowly working my way through it. I'm about halfway through it now.
Yeah.
I got this. I started the single-player campaign because I wanted to see what it was. The way it picks up, it does give you kind of like a summary slash conclusion, but it's nothing that ruins the end of the second game. Like, I still have no clue what happens at the end of the second game.
Okay.
All I know is that Ezio survives, and he killed, quote-unquote, everyone he was supposed to, and he wants to be a man of peace. And that's where this, you know, he wants to just retire, and that's where he starts this game at. So don't be afraid. If you bought the game, don't be afraid to start the single player if you want to. Now, of course, you know, if you have both of them, go through, do your thing. But for those people who are like, I haven't beat two, I beat one, I haven't beat two, I want to know what happens, whatever, like in my shoes... it's fine. You can go ahead and play it. It's not going to fuck up your game. It does have kind of a mind-blowing, like, what the hell? There is a segment where you're like, oh, my God. Okay, I do figure out, like, I don't know. Spoiler alert.
No. Shut up. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Don't play.
He starts off looking at something that's like, oh, that's impressive because it existed back then. That's cool. And that's how it ends, and that's what I'll leave you at.
All right,
but
cool.
It's not so much. It's not something so much that it ruins the story of, like, from Assassin's Creed 2, why your brothers and father got killed and that whole plot line. It doesn't ruin any of that. It just kind of throws out. I can see because, all right, I'm drunk, so I'm rambling a little bit. You have to edit this, so fuck you. But when 2 ends, that storyline concludes. You know, why your family got killed, that whole bit, that is not revealed. That whole bit is kind of left tangling. What's revealed is this other thing that crops up out of nowhere and is like, holy crap, that must be the big twist at the end of 2, the big cliffhanger. That's revealed at the beginning of Brotherhood or Part 3.
Okay. So Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, a good game, not what you guys were worried about of it just being a tack on expansion pack kind of game. This is its own release. It's not your ODST. This is a full release, and it's worth your money because if you're an Assassin's Creed fan, it's a great game so far. The multiplayer is unique.
And if you're not an Assassin's Creed fan, if you're a fan of the multiplayer games and you just want something besides shoot a guy across the map, there was no other game like this, there's no other multiplayer mode like this, as far as I know. Now, if you read the Mount Doom comic and the explanation on Penny Arcade, they talk about an older game that used to do something like this years ago, like some PC game.
Yeah.
Something I'd never heard of. But as far as I know, on a console, there's nothing like this, nothing perfected like this. It's a fantastic game.
So that's Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. The other game we want to talk about is one that we have been hyping for months.
NBA Jam!
It is here. It has dropped. I have bought it Farva.
I've rented it.
Okay.
I have it. It's sitting on top of my Xbox as we speak.
Okay. Have you played it at all?
I did. I went through. They have what's it called? There's like a boot camp type mode that unlocks big head mode.
Jam camp.
I went through jam camp because I wanted to unlock big head mode.
Yeah.
And essentially, what it does is it tells you using the left thumbstick for movement and the right thumbstick for stealing, dunking, shooting, all the rest of it. That's how you that it uses the right thumbstick for that. That's how it teaches you how to use that.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good. And I played my very first match against the computer.
Yeah.
And I lost. I was Dallas because now I live in Dallas, around Dallas. The Mavericks are my local team, so I'm supporting them. So
yep.
I decided, fuck it, I'm going to play with them. And I lost to the Bucks, fucking Michael Beasley, you motherfucker, by one fucking point. I was so pissed off.
Yeah.
And so I finally went down to controls and realized, now the way it works is to take a shot, you have to put up on the right thumbstick, and right when you're at the top of your shot, press down, and that's how you release.
Isn't
you don't
that
have
backwards?
To do that. You don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to do that.
Hold X and let go. I'm like, oh, and to steal the ball, you press right or left on the thumbstick.
Or
that's how you steal the ball. Or you just press B.
Yep.
To block the ball, you got to press up and then down. Up will jump you in the air at the right timing, and down will swat your hand down.
Yep.
Or you can just press Y.
Yeah.
So I lost this game because I'm trying to fine tune running around and putting myself in the right position and making sure my timing is right with the thumbstick. Or I could have just pressed the buttons, which would have been significantly easier, because using the thumbsticks, I couldn't dunk for shit.
Exactly.
I drained like 8 threes, but I could not do one dunk. I don't think I had a single dunk.
Exactly.
And so at the end of the game, I lost by a point, and I was pissed off. And so now knowing that there's buttons, I'm excited to get back into it and try it again, because I'm going to use the buttons and try to fucking rail the shit out of this game.
You should never use those thumbstick controls. NBA Jam is a game that's meant to be played with buttons. I know we talked about the motion controls on the Wii when we played it.
But that's because I could lift up the thing above my head, the Wiimote, and fucking jam it down like I was fucking dunking for real.
You can't do that with a stick.
I did. I lift the controller above my head, and I slammed it down, and I have a wired controller, and I ripped it out, and it wasn't cool.
And then you lost.
Yeah, no. So, well,
that worked out pretty good for you.
Yeah, it was bad.
So, what do you think? I mean, outside of all that stuff, what do you think of the game? Did it live up to what you were hoping it would be?
It is fun.
It really is fun.
What did you pay for it?
I paid $50 for it.
Is that what it dropped at, $50?
Yeah, that's the retail.
Okay, because Dave last week was like, $60 really for that? No.
They kind of get it. I mean, this is the guy that wins Connect from Burger King. So, take his value statements with a certain grain of salt.
And here's another thing. To be fair, most people know Esmeralda is also someone who writes for Sarcastic Gamer, has also been dating Dave. She just won a fucking Connect, an Xbox from Burger King.
No, she did not.
I kid you not. There was pictures of it on Facebook. She's one of my Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is fucking ridiculous. Why am I going to Taco Bell? I'm obviously eating at the wrong fast food. I'm getting fat for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Well, okay, so NBA Jam, I'm a fan of it. I have put some time into it. I am enjoying it. At this point, though, I gotta say it's not living up to all the stuff that I was looking forward to. I don't know what I was expecting out of it, but whatever it is, it's not exactly delivering on it. Not yet, anyways, but I haven't played it online with anybody. I haven't played multiplayer at all.
A question and or query that I have for you, Sir Fish.
Okay.
Now, I haven't played the original NBA Jam since I was 14, 15 years old, so we're talking damn near 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? When you're playing against the computer, you'd pass the ball from one player to the other.
Yeah.
Whatever player on your team had the ball, didn't you have control of that player?
I think in one version you did, and in one version you didn't. I think the later version you did, and
because
the earlier version you did not.
In this version, I didn't.
Right.
I played with Dallas. I had Nowitzki and some other guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember who I was playing with. I'm a little drunk, and the name's not coming up right now. He was black, so we knew he was good.
Okay? Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So it wasn't Jason Kidd. It was the other guy. So we're playing the game. We're running around, And every time I passed to Nowitzki, I couldn't control him, and that just bothered me. There were times when he was open. Now, he would make dunks all the time. He was just jamming them whenever he was open. That was cool. He was scoring some points. But I like being able to, when it's my team, whoever's holding the ball, I feel I should be controlling. And that didn't happen. Now, I don't know if that's something I can turn on and off in options, and that's something I need to look at a little bit. Maybe me and you will do a little bit of jamming afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
Cooperatively. But
maybe. Maybe you can do that. I don't really know. I know there's precedent for that in NBA Jam. I know that there was at least one or two versions of NBA Jam where you controlled one player regardless whether they have the ball or not. I find it okay because you can always call for the ball back whenever you want, and in this way you can set yourself up for alley oops. You can run into the lane and hit the dunk button, and you'll go flying up in the air, and your partner will generally be smart enough to throw it to you when you're up there. So you can do certain things in this way that you couldn't if you were always controlling the ball.
That's true.
But regardless, it's a fun game, and maybe I just haven't got my $50 out of it yet, but it seems like the kind of game that I would enjoy quite a bit for about 2 weeks and then not play all that much anymore. I don't know.
This is a game, in all honesty, if I dropped $30 on this game,
yeah,
I'd be very happy with it.
Yeah. It would be the best Xbox Live or PSN downloadable title of all time.
Agreed.
As a disc release, you might want to take another look at it and wait for it to drop in price.
Yeah, and not to say it's not that it's not fun.
Right.
Nostalgia's sake, this is one of those games, like, for instance, this week, like I was bitching about Gran Turismo that came out. One of the other games that came out was the new Donkey Kong game. Mm-hmm. And for nostalgia's sake, that's like awesome Donkey Kong. I used to love Donkey Kong Country. But Donkey Kong Country fucking sucked. We played it and we just sucked. We sucked at it. Or whatever. For whatever reason, we weren't good at it. I don't want to play it again. Fuck it at PAX. I'm good. Sorry. Yeah. All right, sorry about the alcohol hiccup. But this one, NBA Jam, it is fun. It is a good time. There are a shit ton. Have you tried any of the other modes?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I tried one where you shoot from the different points.
Okay.
Like, there's one where, imagine, like, capture the flag. Or, like, domination type of thing. Or more, or a domination on any sort of first-person shooter game. Where you control a point, and that point scores you points the longer you have it. Well, this gives you half a basketball court, and there's, like, five of these points. If you shoot from that point and score, you hold that point until the other team shoots from that point and, you know, and they score. And then you... you know, as like every like 3 seconds, you get like 1 point or 2 points or however, for however many points you're holding, those points slowly start, you know, those areas generate points for you. Well, that was awesome. Problem I ran into is my computer-controlled character would take shots from areas that weren't in any of the fucking points.
Oh, no.
And so he would score, but it wouldn't count as a score, so it'd just be like a rebound, so the other team would run underneath, grab the ball, and go and shoot. And I did end up winning because I'm Farva and I'm awesome. Yeah. But I was like, that's you. Oh, tard!
Yeah.
You tard! I was just so mad. So
there's some other cool modes. Like, there's one where you have a health meter for the backboard, and the other team has a health meter for their backboard, and the objective is to smash the backboard. And the more dunks you do, the more you decrease your backboard's health meter. And when it gets down to zero, it smashes. And so the first, it's almost like a fighting game in that way, where you are trying to do the biggest dunk and the biggest like alley oop and the biggest like monster. You know, layups don't do shit. Three pointers do some good damage, but the dunks are where it's at. So it's just basically a dunk mode.
Did you look at any of the achievements in the game?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because some of those achievements are fucking ridiculous.
I know.
It's like there's one that's like worth 50 points, and it's be down by 1 point, be going up for a dunk, and the timer runs out, and you lose the game. And that gives you like 20 or 50 points or something like that. I'm like, really? Really? That's the scenario I got to generate? That's retarded.
That wouldn't be so hard to generate.
You know, or, you know, face the secret boss with every team in the Western Division, and then face the secret boss with one team from every division. I'm like, really? That means you got to literally go through and beat in order to get that those two achievements, you gotta take the Western Division.
No. That's not what it means. You saw the game modes are in the menu, and one of them is boss battles.
Yeah, but I can't unlock. There's no. Like,
you gotta play. You gotta beat it. You gotta beat the story mode once.
Yeah.
And you unlock all the boss battles.
I don't want to do that.
But then no. You beat the story mode, and then you have it.
But I lost the Bucks.
I know what happened. You told me what happened.
By a point.
But what I'm saying is you don't have to take every team through the entire story mode to get that achievement. You have to take one team through the story mode, and then you play the boss with the other teams.
I am never, ever, 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 ever going to get an achievement for that game.
I know. But that's okay because you rented it. Anyways, NBA Jam is a good game. Wait for this thing to get down to $30 and then buy it. Buy it, because it's a fun game. It's not worth $50, though. It's just not.
No.
So that's going to do it for Care Package. We're going to move it on into the game bag. Okay, this is Game Bang. Farva, what have you... I'm going to let you lead this one off. What have you been game banging?
I recently have been gaming Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I've been trying my hand at NBA Jam, playing some little Assassin's Creed Brotherhood as of last week, but the game I sank a ton of time into is the latest Call of Duty, and some problems I have with it. I've only been playing the multiplayer. I have not really got into the single player too much. I haven't advanced past where I was last week, where I'm trying to do the jailbreak thing. I am having a couple of issues with the multiplayer, one of which is the... what do you call it? All right, let's say I'm a level 2 and you're a level like 45, and it fucking throws us together. What do we call that? Matchmaking?
Yeah,
matchmaking is a problem. I got in. I started today. I was a level 8. The first lobby I got into, there was one level 16. The next closest level was 28. After that, no one was less than 48.
What time of day did you log in, Farva?
This was, I would say, let's say, shit, 3 o'clock Central Time?
Yeah, you got in with the guys that just play Call of Duty the entire day and don't go to work.
I got slaughtered. It was so bad. And one of the problems I'm running into is I like hardcore mode because I can't aim for shit. In this game, I'm not good at this game. And so to have to empty half a clip into somebody to put them down, like, I will get the drop on someone, and they will manage to turn around, lay on the ground, shoot me in the nuts, and kill me before I can do anything. And I just, like, scream into my headset. And so tonight, finally, I got one match of hardcore mode, because you don't get that to your level 19. And I'm, like, level 13, 14 right now. And so... Like in the previous iterations of this game, you'd get that at like level 9. You could go into hardcore. This one is like 19. So I'm having to slowly get my... I'm getting my ass kicked over and over again. But guys who have prestiged... Like I played tonight with... what's her name? Drunky TS?
Yeah.
Drunky what? Drunky something TS.
Miss Drunky TS, yeah.
That's her. All right. It used to be Lily's Keeper, but Miss Drunky TS, Truth and Justice from Sarcastic Gamer, Dell, who's been on this show before,
okay.
He gamed with us, and Shavi Shaw and a couple other guys that I didn't know kind of jumped in periodically. We played, had fun, and I was getting kill-death ratios of like 0.65, where basically I was... getting killed way more than I was when I was killing anybody. And that's because most of the time I was just running around with a noob tube, blowing people up.
Yeah.
And that's how I was getting all of my kills.
Right.
And so when we finally got to hardcore mode, I was getting kill death ratios of like 1.15, where I was doing much better.
Right.
Now, not being able to jump into that until so late in the game, and then it was just, that bothers me. Like, I think they should allow hardcore mode much earlier than they do. Other than that, and the matchmaking, I think is honestly broken. There had to have been more players out there who were closer to my level than someone who's prestiged or is a level 75.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That seems like a problem.
Got to the point where I was running around picking up every weapon I saw because every weapon I picked up was better than mine. By far.
I know. You know. Yeah, I know that feeling. I can understand that feeling. Yeah, absolutely, I can understand that feeling. I recently unlocked the FAMAS on that, and that helps because that's the kind of player that I am. I am a FAMAS kind of player, the automatic assault rifle, but not too automatic. Mm-hmm. The kind of one where you can measure each one of your shots that come out of there. You have about a quarter second in between each shot. That's exactly my kind of gun. So I'm looking forward to putting more time in with that one and unlocking things for the gun, buying things for the gun to make it an even better gun for me. That's one thing I like about Call of Duty is the new Call of Duty is you can buy and max and sort of max out your weapon the way that you want it without having to be a level 70 something or other.
I got something else to bitch about.
Bitch.
Okay. One of the other things, I unlocked Warlord. I dropped like $4,000 in money in the game to unlock Warlord because I was running around with, I don't remember what it's called. It's the second assault rifle you get. And I have had that. I've run around with it.
The Enfield?
Enfield, thank you. I've been running around with the noob tube, and pretty much I noob tube everybody, and then I just hope to God I sneak up on somebody and knife them or shoot them in the back because I'm horrible at this game.
Right.
So that has been my game style. So I figured, you know what? If I can get the Enfield, and then I unlocked Warlord, which allows you to put two perks on it, and it says two perks, not counting anything you'd attach under the barrel, i.e. you can't have, the way I read that is you can't have a noob tube and a shotgun.
That's underneath the barrel.
Or a noob tube and a flamethrower because, you know, there's only so much room on the rifle.
Right.
But you could have a noob tube and a sniper and a scope or a noob tube and a silencer, something like that.
Yeah,
That's how I read it. So my money is hard to come by because I suck. Now, that's how I read it. So I have the noob tube. So I unlocked Warlord. And I'm like, okay, awesome. And I went to, play my next game and realized I didn't even have enough money for a scope. And I'm like, I'm a retard. So I played a couple of matches, got enough money for a scope, went to put the noob tube and the scope on my rifle. I got nothing. The way it works with that Warlord thing is I took off the noob tube and I could do a sniper. Or I could put like
like a scope and a silencer.
Yeah. Exactly, or something like that.
Oh,
but you
that
can't
sucks.
Have. That. I was so pissed, I dropped like $4,000 on this, and I suck at the game, and I need all the help I can get. I was furious.
I think you should sue them for your $4,000 in Call of Duty money back.
I'm not going to do that. But I was just so mad. That was so misleading, and oh my God, I can't even tell you how heartbreaking that was to me.
Yeah,
I was pissed.
That's how I would understand that perk to work, too. I'm glad that you have told me that it doesn't work that way.
As soon as I did it, too, I was like, oh, my God. I was, like, yelling at my party. And TJ's like, oh, yeah, dude, that doesn't work. I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, appreciate
but
that.
TJ's, like, level 58 already and has millions of dollars that he could just blow on it and just to see if it worked or not.
Yeah,
That's not your situation.
Yeah, he's a midget and an asshole. And I'm only saying that out loud because I don't think he listens.
Yeah, probably not. But, okay, so I would have been playing Call of Duty if this game didn't come along and didn't come up on game sites and stuff as being the next incarnation of the of this incredible experience. I've been playing Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Okay. Farva, real quick,
yeah.
GameSpy debriefing?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah, because I've been listening to that, and they've been talking about it, and I almost picked it up because of that.
Oh, my God. It's like I can't even see straight after I play this game. Imagine Pac-Man. Your good old Pac-Man. You throw him into you throw his board into a techno club.
Okay.
And that's the colors. Except you can change them to 8 different color schemes. And sort of like you can make them three-dimensional, you can make them old blocky graphics, you can change the entire look of the game. You can customize that, and then you can customize the Pac-Man and the Ghost separately. They each have a sprite set that fits that fits one of the board schemes or one of the color schemes. Mm-hmm. But you can mix and match them however you want to have it. That's great. That's just customization shit. Okay, but imagine the entire concept of Pac-Man being flipped on its head. No longer are there 4 ghosts in the center that come out one at a time after you, and no longer is there a board filled all the way with pellets.
What?
The board is there, the ghosts are in the center again, but what happens is there are pellets that fill certain lanes of the board.
Okay.
And there are ghosts that are sleeping in little strategic locations on those lanes. Where, let's say, like the first one has the first lane of the first level has two vertical lines of pellets on mm-hmm. either side of the center of the board.
Okay.
And so the intent is to get you to go up one of them and then go down the other one. So you get all the pellets, you go up one, go down the other, and there's like three ghosts on either side of those. So as you go by it and you get those pellets, you're waking those ghosts up and they're following you.
Okay.
As soon as you're done with one lane, another lane in a different section of the board pops up. So you go over there and you follow the path that it's guiding you through over there, and there's mm-hmm. usually two lanes that come up every time. And you continue doing this, and there's more and more ghosts that sort of line those lanes that come up as you go through it. And you wake those ghosts up, and they follow you too. Now, in the original Pac-Man, there were four ghosts. Four of them that came out of the center, and that's what you had.
Yep.
There's no such limit here. There could be dozens of ghosts following you at any one time, depending on what lanes you take and how many you wake up. And what you do is when you get a power pellet, the one that you got in the original Pac-Man to turn them into monsters that you could kill,
mm-hmm.
In the original, they would run away from you, and you have to chase them down to get them and score the points. And this one, they just kind of follow you a little bit slower. And what's great is that they get in this gigantic line as they're following you, and you just run like a fucking freight train through all of them. And it's like... And the games, if I could say anything about Pac-Man Championship Edition DX, that for the just the feel of the game that revolutionizes Pac-Man
mm-hmm.
is the speed, more than the music, more than the visuals, the speed changes everything. What happens in Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is that...
Stays in Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Is that you start at a certain speed, and as you progress through these lanes that I'm talking about, your speed increases. The speed of the entire thing increases. So you're at 1x speed, 2x speed, 10x speed, 15x speed, 20x speed. When you get close to a ghost that will kill you, like a ghost that you haven't taken a power pellet to kill, the game slows down in slow motion. So you can make a quick reaction and avoid getting killed. And it zooms in a little bit. It's a pretty dramatic effect.
Good Lord, this sounds so fucking complicated. It's Pac-Man.
It is the sequel that Pac-Man never had. It is sort of my point to this whole thing. It is the sequel that Pac-Man never had because it's not Ms. Pac-Man. Ms. Pac-Man.
This is the sequel that tells Ms. Pac-Man to eat a dick.
Yeah, because Ms. Pac-Man is, if you put it in today's gaming terms. Ms. Pac-Man would be sort of what you would pan as a add-on to Pac-Man or a DLC for Pac-Man in terms of how much it added to the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a straight sequel to Pac-Man. This is the first one that's ever been. When you hit that pellet and you start going through that line of ghosts, you start and then you get the first one, you get the second one, you get the third one, and then it speeds up and you're just like just destroying all the ghosts. And you get a ton of points. It's one of the most cathartic things I've ever seen in a video game.
I still want to play this game for free. Like I will play this. I will play this at PAX next year because it sounds like just Pac-Man, but it sounds like this is like Pac-Man on crack, which sounds fun and sounds like something I would definitely be interested in, and sounds like something I should definitely do.
Yeah.
And I will get into it when I come to visit you, and like when everyone else is asleep at like 3 a.m, and I'm in my cracked out, like I'm totally drunk and I'm full of energy, and like I've got like Jack in the Box tacos running through me. I need to just do something mode. Yeah, that's what I'll be doing.
Y'all gotta wait. It's an Xbox Live game, man. You know they have a demo. Go get that shit and play it. It's incredible. I heard all the buzz, I heard all the hype, and I read all the reviews, and I was like, these are people that love Pac-Man, and so I won't like it as much as these guys did, and they loved it. I love this game. It is fucking great. I have Assassin's Creed Brotherhood waiting for me. I have Kinect sitting downstairs. I have NBA Jam waiting for me, and I have Call of Duty all waiting for me, all waiting on Pac-Man.
This game sounds like crack. It sounds like something simple. All you do is just light it, and you're happy.
But you will fall into epilepsy playing this game. And I don't care who you are, whether you have a history of epilepsy or not. The game and the visuals and the sounds and the bright colors and the speed changing all over the fucking place, it is a game experience that... There's games out there that harken back to this kind of thing. Like Peggle uses bright colors and sounds to let you know you're doing good, and it's just sort of a instinctual thing to think that you're doing well in Peggle.
Peggle is a gateway drug. I got my daughter playing video games on Peggle.
Yeah, excited. So Peggle sort of took what Pac-Man did and took it a step further. This takes you back to the original and's like, yeah, this is the first catharsis of video games where you saw lights and sound, and they meant you were doing good, and you felt good for doing it because you saw those lights and sounds. And this one just takes it to a whole different extreme, man. Everybody should try this game. Everybody with a 360, I don't even think it's on the PSN, but everybody with a 360 should try this trial game at least.
The full version, how much did it run you?
$10.
That's
the right price point for this game.
That is 3.5, what do you call them? Big Beef Burrito Supremes.
Not bad for a game that you're going to be addicted to for the next, I don't know how long. I could pop this in. I don't know, I got to pop it in. I just turn on the Xbox. I could play a round of this every day.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's...
Wait. Was that the fisherwoman saying some shit again?
Yeah, she's chiming
in. Okay, hang on. Shut your fucking hole, woman! Because the thing is, don't repeat that, because she won't hear this until she listens to the show.
Right.
And I can totally feel like I was just, like, yelling at her.
Right. Well, I'm glad you feel that way.
Did she listen to the show after we were done recording it?
Yeah.
I'm fucked. Jamie, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. You're beautiful. I love you. Blondes are hot. Move on.
She won't remember that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to do it for Game Bang. We're going to go on into Fresh Catch. Okay, Fresh Catch time, and of all weeks of Fresh Catch, Farba, this is the week. This is the week. Because it's Thanksgiving week, which means it's Black Friday week, which means this is when all the games are, when all the deals are out. Let me tell you something about Black Friday. If you're a video gamer, don't go out. Don't go out. There's nothing out there for us that you haven't heard a better deal for on this show. The only deal that you would venture out for, like, let's say if you're rebuilding your entire entertainment center and you need a new TV or something like that, there's great deals on that shit.
Buy a newspaper tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving Day, buy a newspaper. That's where you get the good deals.
Exactly. But even then, for gaming stuff, for video games themselves, there's nothing out there for you. I mean, the video games aren't discounted that much on Black Friday. And if they are, it's something you can just get the next week or some other random week. You don't have to fight a crowd to get a goddamn video game. What you may have to fight the crowd for, if you're into it, if you have a Kinect or you're planning on getting a Kinect and you don't have Dance Central yet, if you go to Old Navy and drop $25 on Old Navy shit, they will give you Dance Central for free.
All right, that's fucking awesome.
They did that last year with Band Hero too.
Who the hell plays Band Hero?
That's kind of why the deal was kind of shitty. It was like, I guess maybe I could use, like, a new pair of shorts.
They're
or
like,
something.
Here, they're like trying to stuff in your bag. You're like, seriously, I don't want it. Just give me the jeans. No, sir, you have to take seriously. I just want the jeans.
I could use some flip flops or something. Maybe I don't know, but it was not compelling. For Band Hero, it would be compelling for Dance Central if I didn't already have it. But if you're in that boat where, let's say, you could find $25 to drop at Old Navy, and let's face it, who couldn't? You know, they have clothes that basically anybody could wear.
Yeah, they got those throwback tees that make you look like a hipster.
Yeah, exactly. They got hipster shit for all of our hipster listeners. If you're thinking about getting a Kinect, Dance Central is one of the best games that's out there for it. And it's free if you spend $25 at Old Navy. You're not even buying the game for $25. You're buying other shit for $25, and you're getting the game. That's probably your best gamer, like, video game Black Friday deal that's out there. But I will tell you, Keep your eyes on Steam, keep your eyes on Xbox Live, and keep your eyes on the PlayStation Network on Friday, because Steam always runs shit. Xbox Live and PSN have already announced their Black Friday deals, and you should just go online and look for them if you're interested, because there's some pretty cool stuff out there. Like, I think I saw Splosion Man for Xbox Live Arcade at 180 points on Black Friday, which is like $2 and change. So I guess the point is that if you're not venturing out to get yourself a new entertainment setup, and you're not interested in Dance Central, which is the Old Navy deal, stay home and get your deals from home. Amazon basically matches every deal that anybody does anyways. And that way you don't have to go out and fight the fucking traffic and fight the crowds of Black Friday, all the crazy moms getting their KitchenAid mixers and their what you call it, all this bullshit that they sell at like a 5% discount on Black Friday, and everyone just goes bananas for it because it's just a marketing ploy anyways.
Although I do gotta respect that, because my very first Xbox 360 came from a Black Friday sale.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. There's good deals on consoles too. But if you're a gamer that just wants games, don't go out and fight the traffic and fight the crowds on Black Friday. Stay in. You can get them on Amazon. You can get what you need and what you want. The best deals are going to be on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and Steam anyways. So just keep your eyes on those sources for deals on Friday. And that's my best advice for this week for the Fresh Catch.
All right, go with it.
All right, so that's going to do it for the Game Lounge. I do want to mention that our buddy Blue Collar Gamer is going to be hosting the Bad Movie Drinky Drinky on Saturday night. I'm going to try and make it in for that. It's going to be at 9 p.m. Talking Ship time. We didn't have one last week, but we had one the week before. It was highly successful. We had a gaming session and then a movie the week before. And it was fun. But this week it'll be Blue Collar Gamer's turn to step up and host this shit. And I'm going to try and make it, so everybody should try and make it. There's a post out there on the forums where you guys can sign up and join in on the fun. Farber, are you going to be able to make that one, or is this going to be another one of those?
You know what? I want to say that I can, but my work has been retarded out of control. So
well, I think in more ways than one.
So we will see how that goes, but I am truly hoping. And for those of you, if any of you have like someone who's retarded in your family or this and that, don't take it personally. I'm not actually hating on those people. I work with them, and I'm very compassionate and caring. But every so often, they do something that's truly like, really, even for a retard, that was stupid. And it requires me to work 3 or 4 hours extra to fix it. And so, long story short, I will do my very best to be there.
Okay, you will text me, I'm sure, with whatever the developments are on Saturday night.
I will.
Because shit gets crazy at the farm on Friday on Saturday nights.
Oh my God, you have no idea. Yeah. Okay, real quick, I just want to send a shout out to, because I don't do shout outs all that often, but I had one listener who was, I had no idea who this cat was, knew nothing about him, and he came up, and this happened like a month ago, and he sent me a friend request, and every time we've been recording the show, I keep thinking, I gotta get his name, but it's one of those like weird names that I'm not used to, and so I keep forgetting it, so I just looked it up what were you talking about before?
The Bad Movie Drinky Drinky?
Yeah, while you were talking about that, I was ignoring you and looking this up.
Okay.
And so I just want to give a shout-out to Locked Cat of Warks.
Wow.
And it's literally Locked Cat of War X.
Wow. But,
and you know, he's got a gamer score of 45,000, so...
Holy fucking shit, seriously?
Dude, 45,000... I'm looking at it right now. 45,155 points on as far as a Microsoft gamer score. Wow. So, props to you, brother. You know what? He sent me a friend request like a month ago. He's like, hey, I'm a listener, love the show, and I accepted him. And he tried to get me to game with him when I was playing the latest Splinter Cell, and I wasn't able to game with him because I finished the single player, and then I had to take care of my kid. I know. My bad, dude. Sorry. Wasn't on you. Fatherhood and all that shit. You know how it goes. Anyway, so, Locked Cat of Warks, it is awesome. I am truly, truly honored for you to be the very first person that says, hey, I'm a listener and I want to be your friend. That is awesome. I hope to get to game with you sometime soon.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And thanks to all of our listeners for listening. We're back, man. We're back, and it's going to be me and Farva doing this for the foreseeable future. I know it's been a little bit rocky these past few weeks. Maybe me, maybe Farva, maybe whoever. Listen,
mostly you. We're going to blame you, mostly.
Yeah, mostly me. Or maybe we're coming out late because Farva can't record or some bullshit like that.
It's mostly you.
That's all over with, I think, is the point here.
Exactly.
So we're back in the saddle here. So that's going to do it for the Game On episode number 26. It sounds like it's a jam time, Farva.
Hey, thanks so much for showing up, but you got to get the fuck out. Don't think about contracts then. Go watch Eureka. Shut the door. I'm going to swear. I have to swear. Shut the door. I do. It's the rules. Fish, do I have to swear?
You he have to yes. swear.
He said yes. I love you. Mwah. Vagina. Nah, she's a good woman. Okay, I'm sorry.
You guys have such great chemistry together for me.
It's so bad.
All right, so ready for care package.
Sir.